أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله. There are many concerns in the life of human beings. And all of these concerns, as we know, are tied together. They're related, are interrelated. And it takes obedience to a discipline to be successful in life. If we don't have obedience to some discipline, we won't be successful in life. And I find the biggest problem that we have when we're trying to help our situation as a people here is that most of the people are not consciously devoted to any particular discipline in their life. So it's very hard to get the needed support for the program of bettering the situation for the poor, or the African American and the poor people. I would like to begin with an idea. I believe most of our difficulties are due to psychological psychological difficulties. For after all, I can walk physically out that door just like anybody else. And I have physical freedom in this country just like everybody else has. So if it was just physical necessity, then I would think that the situation would be no worse for us than it is for anybody else. But it's more than a physical necessity. It's a psychological necessity. And I'm not speaking from my own narrow or small collection of knowledge. I'm speaking from the biggest sources and most credible sources that exist. That this book for Ireland, number one. And then the available scientific data that I read and you can read if you're interested. And I'm sure many of you out there are aware of. Now, the masses of people, and I don't like using the term masses because that language has been used so much by radicals. And when someone uses that language, the masses, you know, right away somebody might identify that person as a radical. I'm not a radical. I'm a Muslim. And that name suggests peace. In fact, its root means peace. Now, I realize that we here in America, more than any other group or class that has difficulty, psychological difficulty, advancing in America, we are not somehow in a situation where we can confidently claim our total rights in this country. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of black rights that have been legislated, civil rights. Although those rights have a lot to do with what I'm addressing right now. I'm talking about a right of judgment. We are people capable of intelligent thought. And I would say when we compare ourselves to most of the people on this globe, on the earth, we are advanced. Intellectually. We represent advanced people intellectually. But it's difficult still for us to identify or claim our full rights as citizens of this country. To claim our full rights as citizens of this country, I must first sense my right to equal ownership. We always say, you know, a white man owns everything. I hear people who get on this TV. What can you do, man? A white man owns everything. Well, maybe he does, but this is a country the right to farm, the right to own property. So, as a citizen of this country, I'm born with equal rights to ownership in this country we call America. Yes. Together, the citizens of this country own this country. Mm-hmm. Now, if my part in the ownership depresses me, if I recognize the fact that I have entitlement, I'm entitled to all the equal share of this country, then I should turn that moaning and groaning, that depression, into workable energy, profitable energy, by simply recognizing the fact that though I don't have, after all, every time I come in the world, poor and next.
Okay.
And fall into good circumstances or bad circumstances. So if I can accept that I have that right, I am entitled to ownership in this country. I am entitled to equal ownership in this country. I have the right and the freedom to seek a greater share of America for myself. If I accept that without any kingfish problem, a sapphire problem, a typical preacher problem. If I can just accept that, and then, and don't stop reminiscing, don't go back in the back, don't stop telling us a lot of stories from the past. Just look at that reality. That's a fact. My citizenship that I get is no different from the citizenship anybody else gets. So if I can accept that I have equal right to own in this country, that's the first step. That's the first step towards opening up the way, the opportunity to progress in this country to me. If it's going to open up to me, I have to first believe that I'm entitled to it. That I have a right to all an equal share in this country. Not only an equal share, I have the right to compete with the share owner. And become the most consequential share owner in this country. I have that right. Now that's the kind of talk you need. Because that's freedom talk. That's freedom talk. Also, we have to accept, if we want to get off on the right foot, make some progress, we have to accept that every citizen, every free citizen, has a responsibility in the burden of government. Now, just because President Reagan is president, there's no reason for you to say that ain't for me. No. Every free citizen in this country is given an equal share in the burden of government. Now, whether we accept it or not, it's up to him. But he's given it. The state of the government, the caste of the government, is as much an African American citizen's responsibility as it is an Italian American citizen or an Irish American citizen's responsibility or any other thing. See, how come we need this kind of, not information, but this kind of treatment? Information should be common knowledge. How come we need this kind of treatment? It's because we still carry the memory of servitude, slavery, servitude, and inferior status. More than the memory, we still carry the sensitivity. We still bear the sensitivity of people who had no equal title to life as a citizen in this country.
The reality has changed, but the psychology still needs work.
Teach it. All right, boy, that's it.
Now, you know, if you say to the funny man, that ain't all to it, you know, good well, the white man is responsible for our condition. I would say to you, yes, he is, but without any right. He has no right. The law of the land has purged itself, it has cleaned itself. He has no right. So then I have to come and show you what the problem is that goes around and say, well, you might not be a Muslim, but I'm just going to read from the death source we have. God says, never will he improve the condition of a people until they improve the condition of their heart.
All right, Bob.
So, let's see what we have here. Yes. Oh, yes. All right, the next concern. Aspiration. We all born in this country, and the constitution of this land, same was my dream as much as it stays in the other American dream. If you don't like the way things are in America, you have as much right as any other American to dream, to seek vision, to aspire, to imagine new kinds of avenues for progress or improvement in the American life. You are free and as entitled as anybody else on this land to that. So what I'm getting at is this. We're still going to Pharaoh as oppressed people. We're still saying, Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh, the Lord doesn't like your treatment of his people. And really the situation has changed you about 7 million years from now. And in heaven they wondered what the world going on. What the hell is it? Hey, what's going on? They don't know yet that the mood in heaven has changed and now doesn't stay with them, but stay with the Pharaoh. Pharaoh punished them. They're not worthy. Yes! Yes! We have not been able to grow into the responsibility that we have demanded.
Yes.
For some reason, we won't even go into the responsibility that we have been demanding. When you demand equal rights, equal citizenship, you are demanding also equal responsibility.
Yes.
And if we have been unable to grow into equal responsibility, then we keep on saying, give us. The door just keep opening up wide and wide. Say, hey, take the gate down, widen the gate. You need, we didn't make it right. The nigger got more need for opportunity than we imagined. Say, take the gate down, widen the gate. Okay, here it comes. We got the hell. You give up. Hey, take the gate down here. They took the gate down and widened it until there's no more room to widen it. They said, take the whole fence and gate everything down. So let's accommodate the Negro. Now we live in America that is submissive, right? That's under the burden of permissiveness. Trying to accommodate the ex-slave's appetite for freedom without responsibility. All right. Now, believe that the individual has been equipped by his creator. To meet any challenge on this earth. And if he's not progressing, performing well, then we also believe that God has equipped us with the tools to work on the problem. With the vision is to see it and the tools to work on it. Now, I read from those who have credentials. See, I don't have a PhD. But I read from those who have those credentials, and they say that when it comes to the economic challenge, all people have to be regarded alike. That is, it should be expected that poor and white will be poor. And there will be a few that will be successful financially. And that goes for every other people. Now, you know that's what they say. In fact, this position was presented by the Department of Welfare, USA. All right? Now, we know that when it comes to the African American, that's not quite right. Most people we know do not accept economic challenge. Whether they're European American, African American, Hispanic American, doesn't matter. We know that to be a fact. But we know also that this is a fact. That when it comes to the African American, the black man, as we're calling ourselves, destitute of all United of America, when it comes to us, there is a unique situation. There's a unique situation that will not allow us to treat the African American poverty just as we treat the poverty of any other race or class in this country, race of our people in this country. We cannot do that because we know that there is a history of denial, abuse, demeaning, discrediting the work of the African American person. And we know with the same knowledge that determined the position of the government in its effort to attack poverty in this country, we know with the same knowledge that they respect, we're looking at the same knowledge. With the same knowledge, we know that what holds people back most is not physical obstruction, but mental blocks, psychological obstruction. And the African American has been conditioned to accept psychological blocks, psychological obstruction, and regard them as being unapproachable, unremovable. We know that. And we have to talk to our people ourselves. We have to address the problem ourselves because no one is expected to respond as favorably as a mother, our father, our sister, our brother, to the needs of an individual in trouble. Now, sometimes it's a stranger that responds to the needs of an individual, while the near relatives are either negligent or just cruel. But that's a rare situation. The ordinary situation, the common situation is that the closer the tie, the relationship, the greater the concern. The greater the concern. And that's the reality. It's not going to change. White people are always going to be feeling more indebted to their own people than they are to other races or nationalities or ethnic groups. That's the reality. It's not going to change. Hispanic people are always going to feel more responsible to Hispanic people than they are to other ethnic groups. And the only problem is that something has conditioned us during slavery and access to be the peculiar people in America. And that's what we have to work on. Now, we know that you know, no matter how much we want to pretend that everything is perfect, we know that white power has existed, and white power still exists. It's changing colors a little bit here lately, but it's not getting black. Life, in order to begin for the human being, there has to be some sense of responsibility. Some sense of responsibility. We can't begin to live, to be alive as a human being without some sense of responsibility. If I wake up in the morning and no responsibility comes to my mind, I didn't wake up. To be conscious, to be alive as a person, I have to be aware of some responsibility. Now, if I'm not, then I have a problem of bad attitude, don't I? I'm not aware of any responsibility. My attitude has to be bad. Things good. And we get up in the morning, you know, in the family, everybody waking up in the morning. And we wonder what's wrong with the house. If we had the money, I guess all of us, most of us, would do what Bill Cosby did. Now, not that he did this, he said he did this. He's a comedian. But he said he looked at his wife, he looked at his children. And he said, they don't look. He said, look. He said, no. He said, well, look, it's a problem. So he agreed that we go see a psychologist. So he agreed. They went to see the psychologist. The psychologist examined the children. No. They're normal. So when he got back home, the same thing started to happen all over again. But the psychologist said, they're normal. All right, so when you become conscious, when you become conscious as a person, we have to be aware of some responsibility. Responsibility comes with what? A sense of being. A sense of presence.
then you shouldn't take that position. That's if you want to be a Muslim. Summary.
And maybe the one that presses upon me most is the need to just to go outside or open the window. Some people wake up, the first thing they do is walk to the window and open the window. Right? Another one will wake up and go to the washroom. Wash up, start brushing your teeth. Or doing something else. Another one will go straight to the kitchen. Straight to the refrigerator. Right? What got us doing this? What's moving us? What's directing us? A sense of being. A sense of presence. A sense of function. The functional requirements are sending us in those directions. Now, you know, that's the very beginning of being alive. That's the very beginning of being alive. Now, if we can't get beyond that, we're not babies, we're not even anything. We're not a fetus. In a symbolic sense, we are nothing but a drop of sperm. Yes. In a symbolic sense, we're nothing but a drop of sperm. Because man has such high plane for advancement, for excellence. And we're starting at the very minimum life requirement in the person as regards his responsibility, his conscience. All right? Now, dear beloved people, we know that the African-American, the black, I use this term for the sake of those for whom it is popular. We know that we are people who have an unusual problem of bad attitude.
That's right.
Toward self.
That's right. You know,
we have a bad attitude toward self.
That's right.
Now, the first requirement is a normal attitude toward self. So if you don't have a normal attitude toward self, even though you have your senses, you're not clinically insane. But you're socially insane. You're not clinically insane. If you have a bad attitude toward yourself, you might go in the washroom, and when a normal fellow takes a toothbrush and start brushing his teeth, you take your toothbrush and start cleaning your tennis shoes. And go outside without brushing your teeth. More important to you, get your tennis shoes defrosted. Now, I don't think they call them tennis shoes now, but I don't keep up with that. Sneakers? Sneakers may happen. All right. Now, if you can graduate above that, the next thing is the right attitude toward your environment. That's outside of you. Because after all, yourself is your immediate environment. Mm-hmm. So the next thing is the right attitude toward the environment. And when it comes to us, we again have an unusual problem of bad attitude toward our environment. Now, you know, it's no joke. It's no joke. The joke is the reality. Believe me, the reality for us, the real situation of African Americans, is the best comedy that exists right now. Maybe they come up with a better one. But if we want to really produce the best comedy that has been produced so far in the history of Hollywood or any other institution or concern, what we should do is just present the reality of the African American situation.
That's right.
And believe me, man, that will make people laugh. In fact, that's the way to defeat the white man. You want to really sabotage the system of the white man? We get together and produce that reality and show it all over this country, and the white man won't be able to get himself together before we take over. He will laugh himself crazy. Now, the next progress, step in the progress toward realizing responsibility is to realize your responsibility to the demand on your life situation for maintenance and progress. And again, in this respect, we have a dysfunction. We have an unusually bad attitude. We say, well, look, man, don't keep blaming everybody else for our failure to progress. And most of our people start talking race talk to us. You ain't got it, brother. You got to get rid of it, brother. You ain't on time. You don't even know what the hell happened in Black America. Because I won't be a crybaby.
That's what it is. That's right.
Weeping the past. Mm-hmm. At some point, we have to stand up.
Yes, sir.
You know, even if there's a situation that is so hurtful that it makes us want to cry, and we can't help but cry, at some point, when that situation changes, enough. At some point, we're supposed to stop crying. You say, well, hell, man, it's quiet. Okay, it's quiet enough.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
That's what intelligence dictates.
That's right.
Say, well, look, well, hell, hey, now, wait a minute.
That's right.
We've been crying ever since 1692.
Right. That's right.
Whatever. Say, look, it's time to stop crying. Right. We need to use this energy, but you've got to use this energy for something else.
That's right.
So no matter how bad the situation is, we all just can't keep crying. Some of us have to go to work.
All right.
Bad attitude toward progress, toward the need to progress, and toward progress itself.
Yeah.
I hear African Americans, we know how come you've been conditioned to feel like this and speak this way. They're looking at an advancement of America. And it makes them feel bad.
Mm.
And when Americans have difficulties, it makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Even if America showed up by an atheist people,
mm-hmm.
the black who claim to believe in Jesus Christ, many of them will feel bad hearing about an improvement for America, an advancement for America. In its competition with the Russians.
Uh-huh.
We'll favor the atheists. Something is wrong.
That's right.
We have not been able to come out of our hurt and look back at it with sober eyes. A mature heart. We haven't been able to do that. And that's the biggest part of our problem. All right. Now, the man senses the responsibility to promote progress for his society, for his environment. That brings him to a need to cultivate his environment. To cultivate his mind and to cultivate his environment. The need to bring out potential that's there but not working yet for a better and improved and more progressive environment. When it comes to this requirement too, I can't say we have a bad attitude. We don't have even an awareness. Most of us, great majority of us. Now, after we do that, once that process is on the way, then man comes into a sense of responsibility for supervision. Because the more you progress, the more the growth is going to demand direction, control, supervision.
Right.
So man comes into a sense of political responsibility. And that's what we're addressing right now.
Yes,
political awareness. Mm-hmm. Political responsibility. But look how far we as a whole people, look how far we are from even being prepared
yes.
to address this concern.
Make a point,
So most of our involvements are what we call primitive religious involvement. Primitive religious involvement. Most of our involvement is for spiritual relief.
Yeah, that's right.
And all we want is somebody to tell us something that will give us spiritual relief. And really, we don't need any of us. That's why most of the church people, they do more playing the piano and the instrument than anything else.
That's the truth.
So actually, most of us, we are like the negligent parent that has forsaken its responsibility so long that the sin upon the parent has become too great to look at. The parent can't stand to look at the sin that it has filled up with its neglect of its responsibility.
That's right.
So the parent needs spiritual relief. So you catch the parent talking on the phone loud, or listening to a loud radio, or got the TV loud, or into some loud conversation, anything to drown out the whisper from the soul, reminding the person of that sin behind there, that neglect. So we got a people now, the African American people, have come into the same situation. We used to go to spiritual sessions to get spiritual relief for the soul that was oppressed by the white man. I'm talking about chattel slavery, segregation, the days of evil to the black race in this country. But now we go to the church and go to, no, most of all, ain't no church. We go to the north for spiritual relief from guilt. We don't want our conscience to be heard.
That's right.
So if we can keep the mind full of other things, crowd out the conscience, we'll do it.
That's right.
That's the situation we have to deal with. All of us are not expected to deal with, but some of us have to be responsible for bringing it to the attention of the others and then working on it for the good of all. Now, we know that we have certain habits that are now habits for most of the American people. But those habits are more costly for us than they are for the other ethnic groups, simply because our situation is more risky than the situation of other groups. Now, when you have done a lot to establish yourself, then you are entitled to some rest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why when you get a good job and you work for a year, and you have been punctual, you've been a good worker, they have kept you because you work up to the company, they give you a week vacation. Hey, this worker's entitled to a week of relaxation because you have a lot of work that justifies a week of relaxation. Now, of people who have no establishment, how can we justify all of this leisure in the African American's life? All of this play in the African American life. How can it be justified? You should be working harder than any other ethnic group in this country. Because your need is greater. Your need is greater. And I'm not just talking about material things. They got people who spend their time as scientists, social scientists. Political parties and others spend their time trying to figure out how to motivate the American society, how to motivate the American workforce. When we look at the African American people, we see a need for motivation. What will motivate us? What can be said? What can be done to motivate us so we will have the energy, the spirit to be active in a productive way and not tolerate a situation of extreme dependency on the outer force for the upkeep, welfare, progress of our own life and circumstance. Yeah. We realize that we have special social and economic problems. But those problems are in the greater part a problem in the way we think. And for those who have come from Christianity or have a strong Christian background, who believe in the church or the Christianity, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, God says in the Quran, and I believe that the two statements are the same. Mm-hmm. Never will God relieve your situation until you take the bearing of your own heart.
That's right. That's it.
That means until you recognize that you haven't done right by your own life.
Okay.
That your own heart has been speaking to you,
right.
And you've been ignoring it, pushing away,
right.
Putting a pillow over
that's
his mouth.
Right. That's right. That's it.
I'll make a lot of noise so you can't hear it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The Bible says that a man thinks in his heart. Didn't say in his head. Didn't say in his brain. Said in his heart.
All right.
What does that tell us? That tells us that man cannot think without his heart.
All right. Yeah, work on that.
And we know in the, what they call the spiritual sciences, they tell us that the scientific method requires of the operator
go ahead.
That he not be influenced by anything but the field.
Right.
Impossible.
All right. Go ahead, Professor. All
right. Impossible.
Right.
Did I tell you to count from 1 to 10? How to do it? Just a mechanical task. Like taking 10 of these pieces of paper and putting them on down. You can't do that as a stone, as a piece of iron, as a dead piece of material. You can't do it. Your spirit is going to be touched by the task.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right,
your heart is going to be touched by the task.
Right.
Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say if you want to get the students, no matter what the student's interested in, if you want to get the student to do more excellent work, you have to find something to motivate him.
Right.
And how do you motivate him? By addressing his spirit, his human spirit. You have to address his human sensitivity. The more of his soul that gets involved into the work, the more of his feeling that gets involved into the work, you bring feelings into the production. and that makes it extra. Ask the artist who did some magnificent painting if he did that as these crazy people in our colleges are telling us to do the best work. Do it without allowing yourself to get into and be involved. You know, I don't know, man. I was totally involved. That's how I came out so marvelously.
That's right. Like Bob.
Yes. So we think we're going to correct our lives, and we haven't corrected the state of our heart.
Can't do it. That's right.
I've seen us spend money. Serving a good. Right? I call it good spending. And believe me, blacks are the biggest good spenders I know. Excuse me for calling you black, it's popular.
Right.
We're the biggest good spenders I know. I know of African American bloody and sister black. And Negro. She, excuse me. We just want to keep the whole reality in the court. You know. She told others, and I happen to be black, that she went to Marshall Field in Chicago. And she asked the sales general, who was white, to show her a particular garment. The sales girl, with her expression, told her, "This is too costly for you." And she said, "Bring me a dozen of them." Now that's rubbing in the nose, isn't it? But look how much she paid for. Now, you who are in touch with the behavioral needs of African American people, before these challenges that we're still facing, can you imagine how much drugs money we are spending?
Mm.
Woo! Millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, just wasted. Another need that we have is the need to respect the demands of life for a sense of order, a sense of what is proper, a respect for procedural standards. Usually when we get together to tackle our problems, I don't care if it's economic need, whatever it is, when we get together and ask a few of us, let's get together. When we get together, we can't get respect for order. There has to be some kind of order. There has to be some kind of order regarding what group is going to be responsible for supervising. What persons in the group are going to be selected to carry the responsibility for others. What person or persons are going to be the ones that are going to be mainly consulted because of their superior knowledge for this particular situation? We have to ask certain questions like that. And we have to have a procedure. We have to have procedural standards. We have to have respect for procedural standards. We have to have respect for the proper. There is always a proper way and an improper way. But the American public has been conditioned to defy any discipline.
That's right.
Defy all restraint.
That's right.
Defy any authority and all authority.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. If you come together with the American public mind, forget it.
That's
Right. Progress is impossible. If you come together and say, I'm coming together for a mind, for a new mind, I'm coming together to see how this is to be done. I'm coming together to see what authority to be over this particular activity. But if you come with American public mind, you come with a defiance. And we can't get anywhere. Do you know? I believe with all my heart. In fact, I know it with all my mind and heart. So I know that God is as much in this work of ours as he was in the works of any people you can read about in the Bible. Yes. And what do the people say in the Bible? What do the people, those oppressed people, say in the Bible? That we first have to come out of Pharaoh's house. We have to come out of his Egypt. If we expect to get our lives together. Now the problem is that most of us think that we need a physical movement.
Wake us up on that.
We don't know, as one scientist put it, the masses, the poor, one thing that puts them at a great disadvantage is their inability to deal with abstract.
Alhamdulillah.
So we don't know that actually that people in that Egypt is a small model.
Yes, go ahead, brother.
A type of the whole world.
All right.
And that really, Egypt is wherever you find the pressure of that type. That's why in the Quran, Allah says, well, if that's the mind you got, go to any Egypt. That's not just one where you go, just go anywhere.
Right.
And believe us.
That's right.
Don't burn up with that mind. Go in your Egypt. The world is full of them.
Right.
I hope you can have patience with me.
Oh, yeah.
Respect for procedural standards, for order in our life. Respect for the proper against the improper.
That's right.
If we can't come to this same kind of thing, we can't be used. Not in his work.
That's right.
We can be helped, but we can't be included in the group of people that are going to be responsible for correcting the situation. Can't be included. You will do nothing but burden it. You will do nothing but cause problem and confusion. You will do nothing but hold us back. Because your contribution will be nothing but cacophony.
Confusion. That's right.
Pandemonium. Whatever you think of that represents the opposite of center itself. So we don't need it. And we shouldn't invite it. We don't want it. So you let us know when the Spirit has struck you. Shout out. Say hallelujah. The brother man, I don't belong to the public mind anymore. Hallelujah. I'm ready to be shown how to do this thing.
That's right.
But the bullheaded, the fire drunk will do nothing but hurt and deny us all progress. Now, I hope we don't have any such people in this house. But I know they are within the reach of my voice. That's why I'm saying. Now, you know, when I come here as an
officer. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
I never told you I was a mathematician. Never told you I was a politician. Never told you I was a computer.